Titans will unveil their new unis here at the beginning of next month, which is just around the corner. Let's find out if our next guest has taken a sneak peek. Cameron Wolf covers the team for ESPN, Titans reporter. Cameron, how you doing?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Are you ready to break some news today? You've seen the uniforms, and they look like what?
I'll go with Taylor Lewan's reference. They're pink, huh?
They're pink? Wow. So you believe it. They're pink.
No. I don't have that juice to see the uniforms early. I'm waiting just like y'all are.
Okay. What are you anticipating? Do you think we will be excited? We'll give the big thumbs up? Or do you think we'll go, oh, man, all this about that? What do you think? What's your gut telling
you? Well, I think folks will be excited. I mean, they're making a big party of it. So, you know, hopefully it's not a letdown. I know there's supposed to be, you know, noticeable changes. So, you know, it's just going to be personal opinion whether you like them or not. But I think it's a good new feel to the team, regardless of, you know, what the color changes are or what the material changes are. I think it'll be a positive. You know, we'll all judge, you know, the fashion of it. But I think in the grand scheme of things, it's hard to mess up, you know, a change too much, I think. You know,
yeah.
Crossing fingers, but I think so.
Yeah, you're right. Crossing fingers, we'll see. You put the details out on Sylvester Williams, his new deal with the Lions. Why don't you think it worked here? I mean, they obviously thought it was going to work here. They paid him well for it to work here. Why don't you think it worked here?
I think they thought he was going to be first. It took him a while to adjust to what they were doing. He came from a system in Denver where there were a lot of playmakers on that defensive line edge, so it allowed him to make a little bit more one-on-one plays. And here, I think they hoped that he would sort of emerge into a guy who could make a little bit more plays himself. And as we saw last season, he wasn't really a splash play guy. He didn't play well maybe the first month or two season. And I thought he played better towards the end of the year. And I talked to a couple coaches on the previous staff who thought that this offseason would be really good, and they thought they would see more out of him here in year two. But you bring in a new scheme, you bring in a new coach in Sal, and they obviously weren't satisfied with what they were getting out of him. They thought they could upgrade at the position. He plays a position where you only see him playing maybe 30-40% of the snaps, so you have to ask yourself, is he worth the money? He had a roster bonus due of like $2.5 million last weekend. So that's a big payment for a guy if you're not sure about him. So I think that all that went into consideration. And, you know, obviously, you know, whether or not they get the Ndamukong Suh is also a part of that too. So, you know, I think that they felt it was time to move on, and Sly thought that he was fine with the move, and he got a, you know, halfway decent deal with Detroit. So, we'll see how he does out there, but it just didn't work out in Tennessee. That happens sometimes.
Yeah, you kind of led me into my next gut question. I feel like all my questions are, Cameron, what's your gut telling you? So they get rid of Sylvester Williams, they get rid of Carl Klug, and you could see, okay, they're obviously they have their eye on a bigger prize, and we know the bigger prize. You just mentioned him. So what's your gut? I mean, who do you think has, if you were to rank the teams right now, where do you think the Titans fall for Ndamukong Suh?
Well, first, I hope he makes his decision by, you know, draft time. It feels like a recruiting trip that he's going on this last week or so. But I think if I had to rank them, I'd probably say Rams, Titans, Saints in that order. I think the Rams, the vibe I'm getting is that the Rams may appeal to him more from the football side of it as far as playing with Aaron Donald, playing with some of the cornerbacks they added this offseason, playing for Wade Phillips, who – I had spent 2 years with him. He's a great guy. He's a great guy to play for. So I could definitely understand that. And feeling like that's probably the team that gives him the best chance to win a championship in next season. But then if his priorities are money, the Titans can obviously offer the most money. They have $44 million in cap space. They're probably the team that can offer him the most long-term security based on him potentially being the face of that defense. And they've got a pretty good team themselves. So I'd say it's Rams or Titans would be my thought, and then the Saints sort of at third place. I would be pretty surprised if he ended up with them. The only thing that they pretty much can offer is, you know, a competitive team and the ability to play in that 4-3 scheme again. So, yeah, that would be sort of how I look at it going into his decision.
I thought with him canceling the visit to the Raiders, maybe the decision was coming really soon. Do you think a decision is coming really soon?
Well, I think so, but you never know with Sue. He's sort of a guy who does things his own way.
Yes.
He's hard to predict. He's a little – I've talked to a couple of people who, you know, covered him and know him and just said, hey, he's kind of a weird guy, to be honest. He's sort of on his own. He's sort of a, you know, go by his own rules. So, yeah, I think that, you know, you visit teams early this week and over the weekend that you'd make a decision, you know, within a week and not drag it out. But who knows? You know, I think today would make sense as a day. But if he doesn't make it today, you know, maybe it drags into next week. At some point, you think the teams have to say, all right, man, we've got to move on and make our contingency decisions. So let us know. But right now, it doesn't seem like he's been given any ultimatum.
I've heaped a lot of praise toward John Robinson's way on everything he's done since he's been here. But one of the things I have not praised him about is the backup quarterback situation. I think it's been botched. It was botched last year, this time last year. Nothing against Matt Castle. Nice dude. Great in the room, but just wasn't capable of winning them games when Mariota, if he has to miss. And right now we've seen he has to miss at some point in a season. Well, they've done the right move now, and they've moved on. But now I'm sitting here going, I'm not sure where they're going with this backup quarterback situation. Then you get the Johnny Manziel story out in San Diego. Cameron, where are they going to replace Matt Castle? I mean, you look at the list and you're going, my God, Blaine Gabbert looks like the most attractive thing out there. And if that's the most attractive thing out there, I ask you again, what are they doing with the backup quarterback situation?
Yeah, it's not very inspiring. I also think that was a big issue. I think, you know, that cost them a game and a chance to win the division last season in Miami. And you can't go into this season with the same type of issue. You know, honestly, and I know it's, you know, not the popular, you know, sort of a controversial stance, but I think obviously Colin Kaepernick is the best option for them as far as a backup quarterback. I don't think they'll go down that road. It's not, you know, it's not something they've showed any interest in. The Johnny Manziel thing, I think that's more of a headline than anything. I don't think that there's much legitimate stance to that either. But, yeah, I mean, I know they had Blaine Gabbert in here for a visit. They had Chad Henne in here earlier, and he went to Kansas City. None of those guys really do much for me. Of all the guys that are available and that the Titans would actually, you know, consider signing, Matt Moore is probably the guy that makes the most sense for me.
That's what I said,
but I haven't seen them show any interest in him either. I don't know. It doesn't seem like any of these guys will really be your backup quarterback, you know, reliever, as Mike Vrabel called it, the guy who can come in and win you a couple games if you need it. So, you know, I think they end up signing one of these guys and then maybe draft a guy to develop and potentially be a long-term backup too and just hold three on the roster. But, yeah, I agree with you that the issue is still an issue, and that's not a great issue to have with a quarterback who hasn't played 16 games in the season yet.
We're talking to Cameron Wolf, ESPN staff writer, covers the Tennessee Titans, does an outstanding job. Cameron, tell us about this guard that they signed and maybe how he fits into the strategy to try to upgrade the interior of the offensive line.
Yeah, he's a John Robinson guy. He was a guy that they drafted when he was a part of the front office of Tampa Bay. So he knows him well. The best skill set he has is his versatility. He's a guy who could play all five positions on the line. The question then becomes, can he play them well? And that's sort of where things get a little bit iffy. You know, he's probably a guy who fits better as a more of a, you know, six-man offensive lineman, a guy who can spot in at any time, a guy who can give you a few starts if the guy's injured. But he hasn't really done a lot to show he can be a full-time starter at guard, which is his main position. So I anticipate him probably competing to start with Quinn Spain, who they haven't shown a lot of love to this offseason, and then seeing what happens there. Maybe they add another draft pick too. And then if he doesn't win that job, maybe being sort of the swing guard or swing tackle along with Dennis Kelly.
So you would expect them to draft a guard to throw into the mix to try to, if nothing else, groom somebody down the road?
Yeah, I'd imagine like a guard or center, you know, that type of prospect. Like I mentioned, I don't think that Quinn Spain is in their long-term plans. He doesn't really fit with what they're trying to do in the zone scheme, and they tendered him a low offer. He hasn't got much interest on the free agency market as a restricted free agent, so it seems like he'll be back. But I think they're probably still going to try to find a long-term option at the guard spot opposite of Josh Klein. So I don't know. They signed this guy, Paflin, to a one-year deal. Spain's on a one-year deal, so neither of those guys appear to be the long-term answer. So I do think that it would make sense for them to draft a guard to compete and potentially be that long-term answer at guard too. So still a lot of offseason to go, but I think this is, you know, more of a depth move that could help them down the line than a guy who can be their long-term starter.
Okay, Cameron, your opinion on the Kevin Byard, Deion Sanders deal. We've had some fun with it, as you can imagine, on the show. Darren has the T-shirt all picked out. What's the T-shirt, Darren?
The T-shirt that Kevin Byard should wear under his uni all next year and take it off after the game and walk around the field for fans to take pictures. Kevin Byard, just a fan.
So, Cameron, these guys have sold me. At first, I was like, why get into the – don't get into the Twitter war. It's never anything good. I'm thinking Herm Edwards, don't press send. But I do think it could raise Kevin Byard's profile a little bit and actually get him a little recognition, get the fans going a little bit more. Those are not bad things.
Oh, absolutely. You look at a guy like Kevin, I talked to him, I called him on Wednesday morning, and I'm like, dog, Deion's not giving you any love. and he's like, man, I was shocked, just like you. You know, obviously Deion's a guy that all these guys look up to, but you've got pride. A guy calls you a fan after you get an all-pro season. That's a slap in the face. So he definitely wasn't happy about it. He felt like it was a sign of disrespect, you know, just being sort of who he was and the profile that he's come from. You know, sort of being a guy who hasn't been on a lot of people's radars. Obviously, this will get him some attention. There's been plenty of stories written, you know, to get his name in the spotlight. The people who didn't know who Kevin Byard is, more of them know now. And, you know, it's up to him to put up an encore. I know he's been working like five times a week out training with a lot of the DBs. So he's ready to not let that be a one-year wonder. And if he, you know, bounces back with another year like he did last season, then, you know, it'll be hard for Deion not to know who he is, to call him a fan anymore.
Yeah. That was I still don't believe that he knew. I know
it's
divided.
So
I don't believe he knew.
I don't think he did. But,
I think there was a whoops afterwards when Kevin Byard brought it to his attention, but I think initially, right. I don't think he knew who he was.
Right. Yeah, I don't think either. I mean, and it's sort of a condemnation on him being an analyst at NFL Network. You've got to know exactly what you're doing on social media, and then you've got to also know everything that's going on in the league. So, you know, it is what it is. It's sort of a Twitter drama, but it's something that I'm sure Kevin will use. And like you mentioned, I wouldn't be surprised to see him slide it in, whether it's a media interview or whether it's, you know, a T-shirt, just a reference that he still remembers, you know, the slight.
Sometimes it's fun, I think, for a player to have that drives you, but also the fans can rally around that. The Titans fans need something like that. Remember, you know, Mike Milbury for the Predators became the guy that the fans loved to rally around PK Subban.
Sure.
I think that the Titans could do that in a very similar fashion with their fans. It definitely creates the energy. That lack of respect card, it kind of gets the hair on the back of your neck going, right?
Yeah, absolutely, especially coming from a small market. And this stuff guys talk about all the time. He mentioned it. Delanie Walker mentioned it on a rant last season. You know, Tennessee's not the biggest market. It takes a lot for them to get national attention. So, you know, for this sort of thing to happen, it gets you in national attention. It gets you in the spotlight. And it also lets you play that card a little bit more as you go along and let you, you know, continue to be motivated that, hey, these guys aren't paying attention to us even though we did this, this, and this.
Yep.
So, yeah, I think it's something the fans can rally around, the team can rally around. I don't really see any negatives about it. It's the off season, you know, nobody's really, you know, stressing too much about it. But it's something that'll, you know, get eyes on you when it matters.
No doubt. Cameron, good stuff. Appreciate it as always. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Cameron Wolf, go read his stuff on ESPN, Titans reporter. Appreciate him joining us as always. Back to wrap up the first hour next.